Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
That nagging, condemning voice that sometimes is there in your head saying, God has no more mercy for you. God has no more grace for you. You failed God one too many times. He can't forgive you. That voice, that nagging voice that comes to all of us at some time or another is Satan. It's not God. Know that. It's the voice of the devil.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 8 in a message titled, Blessings in Christ. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
So we come now to this great 8th chapter of Romans. And, you know, some people would say, oh, well, you can't say one chapter of the Bible is better than the other or more important than the other because it's all God's Word. And of course, it's true. It's all God's Word. But, you know, there are certain portions of God's Word that just, it just seems like everything's packed into some of these smaller portions, and this is one of those portions. The 8th chapter it's the culmination of everything that Paul has said up until this point about this great and glorious salvation that he's teaching us about. So it's really the climactic point here for this first section of the epistle. And we've already looked a little bit at some of the early verses as we sought to, you know, transition from chapter 7 into chapter 8. And we're going to take our time going through this 8th chapter because it is so rich, and we just want to seek to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit as we go through it. But what I wanted to do this time as we come to it is I wanted to do just sort of a highlight of the 8th chapter. There are, you know, just certain things that the apostle says here that I want to focus in on together now. And these are just tremendous truths. These are things that every one of us need to know these things. Every one of us need to understand these things. I mean, we could entitle this message really the things that every Christian needs to know. And if we could just get these truths that we're going to look at tonight, there are 7 of them, if we could just get these things, you know, just firmly fixed in our minds and rooted there in our hearts, it would have a tremendous and really a revolutionary impact on us. And so hopefully the Lord will apply it in that way to our hearts tonight. So we're going to look at 7 different passages here, beginning in the very first verse, those words there. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm leaving out the therefore intentionally because we've already made that connection. We don't need to go back over that. But the point that he's making is that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, those of us who have put our faith in the Lord, those of us who have received Christ and asked him to come in and be our Lord and Savior, we are the ones that all of these truths apply to. They apply to those who are in Christ. Christ is in us, and we are in him. And for those who are in him, there is no condemnation, or a synonym for condemnation is judgment, or another word that would be the equivalent is damnation. So for those who are in Christ, there's no judgment. There's no damnation. We are not appointed to wrath. We are not going to one day be judged and condemned by the Lord. That's all been dealt with for those who are in Christ. Jesus said in the 5th chapter of John's gospel, he said that whoever heard his word and believed in the one who sent him has passed from death into life and would never come into condemnation. So you see, as we put our faith in Christ, we pass out of the realm of death and judgment into the realm of life. And there is no appointed day of judgment for us. The judgment is over. It's already taken place. Christ was judged for us on the cross. And so he bore the penalty. So there is no future condemnation. I don't have to live in fear or dread that I'm one day ultimately going to be lost. I'm one day going to be cast off. I don't have to be afraid that in the end, God's going to say, sorry, you know, I can't let you in. You really, you know, you just didn't cut it. That's never going to happen. It's never going to happen because we are in Christ. And there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Now, that's the truth about the future. But listen, there's a truth about the present that we need to understand as well. There's no condemnation for us right now. And that nagging, condemning voice that sometimes is there in your head saying, God has given up on you. God has no more mercy for you. God has no more grace for you. You failed God one too many times. He can't forgive you. God's love for you has run out. Too bad. It's over. You've gone too far. There is no hope. That voice, that nagging voice that comes to all of us at some time or another is Satan. It's not God. Know that. It's the voice of the devil. How do we know that? Because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So if there's this nagging thing that's going on in my head, we can know immediately, wait, this isn't the Lord. God's not going to be saying these kinds of things to me because I'm not condemned. I am justified. I'm declared righteous. I am in Christ. But all of us at times, we go through these kinds of attacks. And quite often, these things happen to us on the tail end of some sort of failure. You know, when I fail, when I sin, that condemning voice comes in. And the enemy, you know, just starts to question, oh, come on now, are you really a Christian? Could you really be saved? I mean, after all, you didn't act like a Christian right there. Oh, what you said, no real Christian would say that. Oh, what you thought, no real Christian would think that. And then you start feeling like, man, I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't even know if I'm going to make it to heaven. That's condemnation. You come under that. And we all experience it at certain times. You know, maybe we failed to seize an opportunity that the Lord brought our way. And maybe there was somebody right there and it just seemed like it was a ripe moment to share with them, but we chickened out. We were afraid. And we, you know, just missed the opportunity. And then the devil comes along, oh, come on, are you a Christian? Look, you didn't even witness to that person. There you had the golden opportunity. You were afraid. You were embarrassed. You were ashamed of Christ. God is upset with you. He's angry with you. Anybody ever experience anything like that? Is it just me? Okay. There's two or three of you. All right.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
This is the stuff that goes on. This is what the enemy does. And he's a master at it. And he's been doing it for centuries. He's been doing it to people from the very beginning. And, you know, this can be so powerful that the enemy can use this to drive people away from the church. People feel like, I can't go back there. I'm unworthy. I'm condemned. God, I can't go to the church. And in some extreme, severe cases, it can drive people to the brink of suicide. And in some even more severe cases, it can drive people to take their own life. This kind of tormenting, condemning sort of a thing. This is why we have to know this truth. We have to understand this. This has to be etched in our minds and deep there in our hearts. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. It's not the Lord who's condemning me. It's not the Lord who speaks to us like that. It's the devil. And so beware of that. Remember this, that if we've confessed our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What sins? Any sins, all sins, every sin, no matter what you've ever done. If you confess it, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. We need to know those things. Now, you know, sometimes we do confess, and yet we don't feel any different necessarily. Sometimes we've confessed, and yet we still have this stuff going on, and the enemy still keeps coming in. But you see, this is where we have to stand on the Word of God and not on how we feel. People get ripped off because we go with how we feel instead of what God's Word says. Well, I must be condemned because I feel condemned. No, you're not condemned. You're in Christ. The Bible says so. Did you confess your sins? Well, yes, but I don't feel forgiven. So what? You are forgiven, whether you feel like it or not. You see, by faith, you have to lay hold of it. You have to say, I'm forgiven, not because I feel forgiven. I'm forgiven because God said if I would confess, he would forgive me. So I receive that forgiveness by faith. And as you keep walking in that forgiveness by faith, then, of course, there comes that moment where our feelings come into harmony with what is really the case. Now, sometimes there's a little bit of confusion between conviction and condemnation. There's a legitimate work of the Spirit when we sin called conviction, right? If we sin, the Holy Spirit convicts us. How do you know if it's the Holy Spirit convicting you or the devil condemning you? Well, it's real easy. The Holy Spirit's conviction is always going to point you to Christ and to forgiveness in the cross. The Holy Spirit's conviction is always going to show you that, yes, you've sinned, but Christ has taken care of your sin and lead you to confession. The condemnation of the devil, on the other hand, is going to push you away from the cross. The condemnation of the devil is going to say, there is no hope, there is no forgiveness, there's no more blood available to cover your sin. Don't go to the cross, don't go to church, don't go around the Christians, just go out and despair. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the first thing we need to know. And like I said, we need to get a hold of this because the devil will never stop trying to rip you off in this area. He will never stop. And I can attest to that from my own experience just today. Just today. You know, I spent, like I said, the last day and a half or so in New York City. And I didn't lead anybody into Christ in New York City. And I came home. And the devil just said, what a lousy Christian you are. You were in New York City. You didn't lead a single person to Christ. And I thought, yeah, it's true. All those millions of people, and I didn't lead one to the Lord. What a lousy Christian I am. Yeah, you're such a lousy Christian. You know, you probably ought to just forget teaching the Bible tonight because, you know, you're just a loser. Why don't you call somebody else? Have them teach for you. Yeah, I probably should. This stuff is going on in my head today. So I share that with you to just, you know, say this is real stuff. And the enemy does it. And he does it to all of us to some degree or another at varying times. So know when that's happening. Who's talking to you? Realize who's talking to you. And, you know, I've been walking with the Lord for some years, and I've had these experiences many times over the years, and I'm pretty attuned to the enemy's voice. I'm pretty able to recognize, okay, that's not the Lord, that's the enemy. But sometimes it's so subtle, it's just kind of hard to detect what's going on. But then you realize, wait a second, get off my back, devil. I'm going to teach Romans 8 tonight. I don't care what you say. And so you just step forward and you do what God calls you to do. All right, so that's the first thing we need to know. Secondly, let's jump down to verse 11. And here in verse 11 it says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you," which is the case if we are believers, he then says, "he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Now, we're going to talk a lot more about this as we get further into this eighth chapter here. But let me just tell you what Paul is talking about here. Remember back in the seventh chapter, he's talking about this problem that we have, the good that we do not, and so forth. And he says, I find this principle that sin is in me, the one who wants to do good. And so I don't do the things that I want. And so because of the sin, the body is dead. The body is dead in the sense that I'm incapable of doing the right thing because of the sin that dwells in me. But here's the beautiful thing here in the eighth chapter. Remember, there's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that's made us free from the law of sin and death. And now what Paul's telling us is that Christ, his Spirit, dwells in us and gives life to our mortal body through his Spirit. So now it's no longer the good that I would, I do not, and that which I hate, that I do, and there's no good thing that dwells in me. That's no longer the case. The case is I'm now indwelt by the Spirit of God. And because I'm indwelt by the Spirit of God, I can now do the things that God wants me to do. I have supernatural power enabling me to do it. This is the beautiful and the distinct thing about the Christian message. You know, other religions give you a list of things to do. There's an ethical standard connected to other religious systems, and there are standards of morality, and so, you know, here it is. This is the standard. These are the rules. These are the commands, or whatever the case might be. Now, do these things. But the problem is there's no power to do them. You could look at them and say, that's great. That'd be wonderful to do. I'd like to do that. I'll try to do that. And you find that you're incapable of doing it. But with the gospel, God says, okay, this is what I'm calling you to do. And I'm going to come and live inside of you, and I'm going to empower you to do the thing that I want you to do. That's the good news. Remember, it's God who is working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it's through Christ's indwelling presence in our life that we're able to live a holy life, a godly life, a life that pleases the Lord. It's not through my human determination to do it. It's through the empowering of the Spirit. And that's what he's telling us here in verse 11. The Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And so that same Spirit that raised Jesus up is going to raise us up, not from the dead in the physical sense like Jesus did, but from the dead in the sense that we're in spiritual death and therefore incapable of living the spiritual life that God wants us to. It's going to raise us up to be able to do that. So it's not about my willpower or determination to be a better person, to do the right thing. It's about being born again and having the indwelling Spirit who is now empowering me to do those things. We need to understand that that's the way it works. Like we've talked before, it works from the inside out, not the opposite. Religion works from the outside in. Here it is, it's external, and let's try to impose it and somehow work it in. Doesn't work that way in the gospel. The gospel goes right to the heart and starts from there. Christ comes into our hearts and then starts to work his life out from within us. And that's what he's telling us in this 11th verse here. Now, in verse 15, look at what he said. He said, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." So here's another wonderful truth that we all need to understand. We are the children of God. Children is a term of endearment. We're precious to God. We're his children. Now, you know, there are people who like children, enjoy children. I love children. I really do. But I have to say, I love my own the best. As much as I love other children, I have to say I love my own the best. And it's just the way it is, isn't it? I mean, does any parent love somebody else's kids better than they love their own? I don't think so. And it's just, there's this parental thing. There's this thing between the parent and the child, this beautiful kind of a love. Well, this is what we have with God. God has become our Father. And you notice here the word Abba. And some of you know this, that the word Abba is an intimate word for father. It's like daddy or papa. So here we're talking about, and notice what he says, the spirit there of adoption, we've received the spirit by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So we're having this thing going, this intimate thing, and the spirit himself is bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So God loves his children. They are the most precious thing to him in all of the universe. Remember what it said about Israel in the Old Testament? Things like that they were the apple of his eye. Well, that same truth is applicable to you as God's child. That same truth is applicable to us as the church of Jesus Christ. Just with those same kind of terms that God expressed his love to Israel, we can take and apply them. Remember what he said through Jeremiah? He said, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you to me." So that was what God spoke to Israel. Guess what? It's true for you too. He loves you with an everlasting love.
Here's a few words from Pastor Brian and his wife, Cheryl, about this month's Back to Basics resource.
So, Cheryl, for this month, we are going to offer a book that you wrote. And this book is called When a Woman Lets Go of the Lies. And the subtitle is Discovering the Truth About Who You Are in God's Eyes. Tell us real quickly about this book.
Well, you know, I found that women hear lies constantly. And some of those lies we actually believe. And we've allowed those lies to intimidate, to form us, and to form how we feel and about ourselves and how we relate to others. And God wants to set us free from those lies, that we might hear from him the truth, that he loves us, that he died for us, that he is for us, that he's going to use us for glory. And when we believe the truth and hear the truth, we're set free to love each other and to live a really exciting life through Jesus Christ.
So, all right, this is our book offer for the month. So, especially ladies, you want to check this out, and it's going to be a blessing.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for stopping by the studios and sharing about this month's resource. You can order Cheryl's book by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of the book, When a Woman Lets Go of the Lies. and then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you Cheryl's book, When a Woman Lets Go of the Lies. We appreciate your generous support to this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.